Waking Nightmares by Jonathan Knight Mysterio Spires. Chapter 1. The Nine Falling Stars.
You cannot escape me. I am who you really are. Soon, you will be a nightmare again.
Princess Luna twisted and turned in her sleep, horrific visions of dark shadows that chased her through steel corridors. Through windows she passed, she saw a pale, ivory-furred pony with no face in the distance. With each window she passed, the figure got closer and closer and closer, until finally, the dark, faceless pony was right in front of her.
Help me!
Luna screamed in fright, shooting awake in her bed. She looked around, seeing nothing. No demonic faceless pony. No shadows trying to kill her. Shivering, she put her head under the covers and began to sob. A few moments later, Celestia trotted in, her elegant, flowing mane somewhat disheveled.
Luna? Luna, what's wrong?
She asked. Luna, startled, looked up at Celestia and began sobbing again. Celestia, concerned, went to her sister's side and hugged her tightly.
Shh. Hush, it's okay. I'm here for you.
Luna tried to speak, but could only sob. Celestia frowned, worried for her sister, whispering comforting things to her, trying to calm her down.
What could have scared her this much?
She thought. When Luna finally calmed down, she managed to get her to speak. Luna sniffled.
There were these, I guess you could call them living shadows. They were chasing me, clawing at me. I could feel them cutting into me, even as I ran. But no matter how fast I went, I couldn't escape. There was a voice, Nightmare Moon's voice, but distorted. Monstrous! And there was this thing. This faceless pony. It just kept getting closer and closer and closer.
Celestia was more than a little stunned. To have such a graphic dream. It sounded more like a vision. And that faceless pony. Where had she heard of that before? She needed to study this. As she looked down at her sister, who was still snuggling up against her, crying, she amended her last thought.
After she's calmed down and gotten some sleep, I'll study this.
Celestia thought. She looked up at the stars and sighed.
Please, let nothing bad happen. But if it does, let my sister be safe.
As if in a response to her wish, nine stars suddenly fell from the sky. She wondered a little about that, and then dismissed the thought immediately. Her sister was much more important. A gray-furred, cross-eyed Pegasus, enjoying her day off from work, was bouncing around a plush, squeaky muffin that had been made for her. She liked it because she could play with it without feeling like she was wasting food. She would bounce the toy off her head and rump, roll it around, make it squeak while bouncing it up and down. She blinked and looked at the clock tower. Nodding, she decided to keep playing with the muffin.
I still have some time before I have to pick up my daughter from school,
she said.
More time for old Derpy Hooves to have some fun!
She began playing with her muffin-shaped toy for a few minutes more, when she started hearing some voices arguing. She listened in carefully, slowly making her way to the source of the voices. As she got closer, she began to notice details. For one, they all had odd accents. For another, there seemed to be only one female. She giggled a little, a naughty, inappropriate thought occurring to her, which she quickly dismissed. Finally, she got close enough to see them. And they were the strangest ponies she had ever laid eyes on. One of the ponies was huge, a blue-furred, hulking earth pony stallion, bigger even than Big Macintosh, with a short, close-cropped white mane, clad in a blue shirt and a vest of some material she didn't recognize. He stood protectively near a white unicorn with glasses, his dark black mane in a slight curl on his forehead, and a white coat with a blue cross on it. A frustrated-looking unicorn with dark blue fur, wearing a yellow hard hat, blue work vest, and goggles, stood nearby, looking like he had a headache. Fluttering nearby was a young Pegasus with sky blue fur and a blue shirt and blue-green hat, an odd-looking set of headphones around his ears. He was chuckling at the two arguing ones, an Earth pony in a blue shirt and helmet, and a Pegasus with a blue mask of some kind that just revealed his eyes and muzzle, a suit coat and jacket over his chest, holes in the back of his wings. He clutched a knife of some kind in his tail, and judging by the furious expression on his face as he yelled at the helmeted pony, he looked to be on the verge of using it. Looking bored with the whole ordeal, an Earth pony with dark blue fur, a black mane and goatee, an eye patch over one eye, and a cotton cap over his head, just sat and grumbled. The lone mare of the group, her fiery red hair a stark contrast to her blue fur, giggled, her unicorn horn glowing every so often. The last of the nine of them, a Pegasus wearing a blue shirt and vest, sunglasses, and a wide-brimmed hat with one end turned up. He stood on a rock near the group, slowly scanning the area around them. Derby frowned, trying to make sense of this. The only real commodity she could sense between them was the abundance of blue, and the fact that most of the stallions had short cropped manes. Curious, she moved forward, hunkering down in the nearby tall grass, inching closer to try and get a better listen.
And yet again you refuse to acknowledge that this is your fault, just like the first time.
The masked Pegasus snarled, idly flicking his knife open and closed. The helmeted Earth pony snarled right back at him.
You can't hold me responsible for this, maggot! There wasn't even a wizard around this time!
Here we go again,
muttered the hard-hatted unicorn.
What will this bickering accomplish?
The white unicorn asked, an irritated expression on his face.
You stay out of this, you miserable kraut!
The helmeted Earth pony roared, a crazed look in his eyes.
I know what I'm doing. Now everyone, just shut and follow orders. We are going to that settlement up ahead, and we will establish headquarters there. We will not be caught off guard when the inevitable attack from Red comes.
Oh, for
the hard-hatted unicorn.
Sully, if Red was here, they'd have attacked already.
The one called Sully almost hissed his answer.
That's just what they want you to think. Those Reds are sneaky, they are.
Yeah. And that's why we've been steamrolling them for the past few weeks, said the young Pegasus in the cap. Thanks to Engie and Spy taking command.
The Pegasus in the sunglasses' eyes went wide for a moment, Derpy not noticing as he stared right at her.
Mates,
he said, trying to get their attention. Sully snorted again, jutting his chest out.
Bah, coincidence! We would have started winning against those maggots soon enough.
The young Pegasus snorted in laughter.
Yeah, right.
Sully snarled at him, but shook his head, taking a deep breath and trying to calm down.
All right. Even if the Reds aren't here, we can't just stay here. Ever since we got transported to this world and transformed into ponies, we've been near helpless. Only a handful of us have abilities resembling our old weapons, and it took us way too long to learn basic motor control.
He said, adding with a mutter,
I'm just glad there's bathrooms in this world. We need to have a base of some kind. We can't just mow around in the woods the whole time. We are going to that town, and I am leading the charge!
Mates!
The sunglass-wearing Pegasus tried again, frowning. The one-eyed Earth pony sighed, standing up and putting a hoof on Solly's shoulder.
What? You do tend to make a bad first impression. Inge inspired the best to deal on the civilians, and since we are not even in our own world now, much less our own bodies, we need to be careful about this. Inge inspired the best planners, you know that.
Sully sputtered for a moment, trying to protest, but eventually drooped his head, nodding.
You're right. I don't like it, but you're right.
The Pegasus in sunglasses sighed.
And that's great, mates. And now that you're done blabbering about, maybe you'll actually listen to me when I say there's someone here that's been watching us for the past few minutes.
Everyone turned to where the Pegasus pointed, Derpy yelping in fright. She wanted to run, but she felt paralyzed with fear and could only stare at the 9 odd ponies with fright. Solly looked like he wanted to charge, but the one-eyed pony held a leg up, holding him back and shaking his head. Visibly forcing it, Solly managed to calm down. The hard-hatted unicorn had to do the same with the mare, who gained a sudden manic grin on her face at the sight of Derpy and started forward. The hard-hatted unicorn had an easier time getting her to back off, though. Afterwards, the Pegasus in a suit, and the hard-hatted unicorn came up to her.
"Forgive our associate,"
the masked Pegasus said, his manner all charm and confidence. Derpy blushed despite herself and giggled as he continued saying,
"He is overbearing at times, but he means well and is a loyal comrade."
Solly just snorted, sulking next to the one-eyed pony. The hard-hatted one nodded, sighing.
"Anyway, as y'all may have guessed, we ain't from around here,"
he said, smiling in a warm, friendly fashion that made Derpy feel much better around the 9 of them.
"And as y'all can probably guess, we're a little anxious to get home. We was wondering if y'all knew of any magical authority around here that might know of a way to send us back."
Derpy frowned, thinking for a moment. Did she really want to expose these creatures to Princess Celestia? These two seemed nice enough, but something about the mare bothered her, especially her cutie mark, which was a violent flame. After a moment, though, she decided that Celestia could probably easily handle them. And if not her, then Twilight Sparkle and her friends could. After all, she had heard they defeated Nightmare Moon.
"Well, there's Equestria's ruler, Princess Celestia."
The masked Pegasus blinked and smiled, pleased to have learned something.
"Equestria. This world's name is Equestria. How..."
He looked around, chuckling.
"Appropriate."
Derpy blinked.
"Wow, you really are from another world."
The hard-headed unicorn chuckled, an amiable chuckle that made Derpy feel good.
"I guess it is kinda obvious,"
he admitted. Derpy giggled.
"Anyway, I don't know how to contact the princess directly, but I do know someone who does. She was actually a student of the princess herself."
The hard-headed one nodded.
"We'd like to meet her then, miss."
Derpy blinked.
"Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Derpy Hooves. I'm one of the mail carriers for the town, but today's my day off. I was just playing with my muffin toy and..."